I'm with Graham Jones, the internet's psychologist. Graham does a lot of work with different companies on marketing, but particularly in the internet era. And social media marketing is so important because A, it doesn't cost you very much money if you know how to do it, and you can really reap the benefits. Good morning, Graham. Thanks for joining me.
Hi.
Graham, my first question is, what should people be doing in today's age to market themselves on social media?
What they need to do is to have a very clear plan and strategy. One of the biggest problems I find is that people are largely butterflies. They are just flitting from place to place. It looks interesting. I'll land here, do a bit of this, and then something else comes along and they go, oh, that's interesting. They go somewhere else. And then they come to me and say, well, I've been doing social media marketing for a year and nothing's happened, so it's a waste of time. And when I look at what they've been doing, it's been unstructured, unplanned, unfocused, and they've just been flitting here and there without any real thought. And I think one of the biggest problems that businesses face is lack of detailed planning and strategy for what they're going to do with their online marketing.
Well, that's interesting. Detailed planning. Well, that's what I advise all my customers to do with their businesses, with their profit and their cash flow forecast. And it was a business that you and I were involved in over the last 3 or 4 years when we took it over, there was no planning and no strategy. So you're telling me social media is exactly the same.
Exactly the same. And in fact, it's worse for social media. And the reason it's worse in the impact of lack of planning is because it is much wider and deeper than ever before in terms of marketing. So if we go back to the days before the internet, in those days, all a business could do was really communicate to their customers in three ways. They could communicate face to face, they could communicate on the telephone, and they could communicate in print. And that was it. There were no other choices. So actually, it didn't matter if you were a bit unfocused, because you were only unfocused in one of three ways. Whereas now, there are 800 plus different social networks. There are different ways of communicating. You can do email, you can do instant messaging, you can do Skype messaging, you can do Skype calls, you can do videos, you can do different websites, you can do online forms. It goes on and on and on. And so there are literally now not just three ways of communicating with your marketplace, but hundreds. And so if you haven't planned, you will be completely unfocused. Your customers will not have a clue what you're doing, and you will end up moaning as a business that you're not achieving things. And the reason for that is that you're not planning. In the past, businesses didn't really have to plan very much. Now, if you don't plan, you're all at sea completely.
Okay, so some of the people listening to this podcast may be thinking, well, I'd like to get a handle on this quickly. Let's talk about the low-hanging fruit. Where are the quick wins for them? Where should they go first?
The first place to go is to make sure that they have a website that achieves what they want to achieve, because ultimately, your customers are going to come back to your website. So you need a website that does what you need it to do, and that means you've got to decide where your website sits in your sales cycle. So is it, for example, dealing with people who've never heard of you before?
Right.
Or is it dealing with people who know all about you and are just confirming that you are who you say you are for a bit of credibility? The kind of website you have is different depending on which end of that sales cycle you're at. And then, having decided that, you can then decide what you need to do with your social media to be able to direct people to that website to achieve whatever it is you need to achieve. So the quick win isn't really quick anymore. The quick win is detailed pathways, analysis, and so on. In face-to-face sales, this happens all the time. A good salesperson is doing this and planning and organizing and thinking about the direction they want to lead someone in, but they're doing it on the fly, as it were. They're doing it inside their heads. They're doing it with years of experience of talking to customers and working out where they need to direct that customer and what kind of things they can achieve. Unfortunately, you don't have that conversation on the internet. So you've got to work all that out in advance and then make sure that people follow the pathways that you've created across the internet. And so there are no quick wins anymore. It's the quickest win is detailed planning.
I'm not going to let you get away with that quick wins, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But I know some of the things you were talking about there are covered in your fantastic book, Sales Genius, which is a brilliant book that I've got here on my shelf. But let's say somebody like me that worked for Barclays for a long time and then suddenly started his own business, not employing anybody, doing everything yourself. Should I start with LinkedIn? Should I start with Twitter? Should I start with Facebook? Should I start with Instagram? I just want to get a feel for it. I want to get things going and I want to see some results. So give me a straight answer, Graham.
You should start with where your customers are or your potential customers are. So if all your customers are on LinkedIn, there's no point in you being on Twitter or Facebook. If all your customers are busy on Facebook, there's no point in you being in LinkedIn. So the first place to start is detailed research, understanding where your customers are. There's an internet marketing guru in America who says that if you want to get run over, you've got to stand in the middle of the highway.
Oh, I love it.
That is no point in standing, as he would say, on the sidewalk, expecting the traffic to come off the road and run you over. And so it's the same on the internet, that if you want to be run over by your customers or potential customers, you've got to stand in the middle of their highway. And you often see this. You see people on LinkedIn desperately trying to attract people over there when all their customers and potential customers are happy away on Facebook. And so they're trying to drag them away effectively from the middle of their highway onto the sidewalk, and it ain't going to happen. So what you need to do is find out where are your customers? What are they doing? What are they spending most of their time on? And this is why I keep coming back to this detailed planning, this research that you need to do, the detailed planning to get it right. Otherwise, you're kind of whistling in the wind, really.
Okay, well, a quick win for me that would be to ask a few customers, go online and look at them. I was over the Isle of Wight yesterday, and I was talking to this cafe proprietor about how they were pushing this. This was between Shanklin and Sandown, and there were about six beach cafes along that 2-mile stretch. So they're all competing with each other for a very limited market, summer market, etc. And she said she had 2,200 people on Facebook. And people were retweeting, that's the wrong word, sending her Facebook messages, but she wasn't on Twitter and she wasn't on LinkedIn. Does that sound the right market for her?
Well, I don't know is the answer. It depends on her customers. So, for somebody else in the same business, it could be completely different. Mm. So there is no right or wrong answer to this. There is only the answer that works for you and your specific customers. So it does require, as you say, asking people, talking to people and finding out what they do. And I go to businesses and say, when was the last time you spoke to a customer? And there are many businesses now who don't actually speak to customers. And then when I ask them, what are their customers thinking? What are their customers' likes? They have no idea. And they're relying on software. They're relying on internet to tell them things. And it's not going to be telling them things. We need to speak to customers, find out what they're doing, what their preferences are, so that we can better match what they want.
Interesting, isn't it? It sounded to me like Facebook was probably the medium for her, which was quite interesting. Moving on. Tell me about clout scores. What do they mean?
Clout, K-L-O-U-T, is a system which is designed to try and work out how social you are and how good you are in terms of social media. It has several weaknesses, but those weaknesses are shared by everybody who has a clout score. So it means that comparative information is okay. It's relative. It doesn't actually mean you have a particular brilliance at doing stuff on social media. But essentially, if somebody's got a clout score that's high, by high, I mean greater than about 50%. So that means that they're pretty social. They are doing things online that gets them noticed. They can influence other people. So if you're in business and you've got somebody with a high clout score recommending your business, then it's going to have greater benefit to you than somebody with a lower clout score who doesn't have so much online visibility, basically.
Okay, and to get your clout score, you go into the clout website, www.clout.com, and it then asks you to go in via Twitter or Facebook, and you a score. You've cheered me up a lot, Graham, because my clout score is 57, and I've done that without as much detailed planning as you suggested, which embarrasses me slightly, but just doing it myself. So these things are possible. Even if they don't give you the exact result that the internist psychologist would recommend. Finally, I remember that you told me a couple of months ago you went into a huge company, which remains nameless, but all their social media was barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. they didn't really know what they were doing, yet they were spending a lot of money on it. Can you expand on that, or is it all confidential?
No, I can't tell you who they are. Because I have a non-disclosure agreement with them, but they are a major brand in the UK. They turn over nearly £1 billion a year. They have several million customers, and basically their social media is really, really poor, and they know it's really poor. But, you know, simple things like them saying to me, we can't understand why we don't have as many Twitter followers as our competition. And I just pointed out to them that the ability to see they had a Twitter account wasn't even present on their website. They had no icon showing they had Twitter. So they were just assuming that people would find them on Twitter. There was no way of using their website to actually see they had a Twitter account. It was mentioned in one page, deeply embedded in their website, which was an about page, which most of their customers never go to. And so, you know, simple things like that, that even a massive business turning over lots of money makes basic mistakes.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you saying that. And I remember you saying something to me, which I took action on straight away, that very often most people don't have their telephone number on each page of their website.
Yep. So when you do some research asking people, why do you visit a company's website? About a quarter of people who visit a website are going there simply to find the telephone number because they want to phone them up. And yet you can still find many businesses who don't have their telephone number on their website. And remember, you said at the beginning, this is about people doing things quickly, within seconds, and that the seconds matter. So if they can't see your phone number within seconds, they'll go to a competitor who does show their phone number. And so your phone number needs to be on the front page, on the top of your website, on every page. And the place where people look for phone numbers is on the top right of a web page. So if your phone number's on the top right of your web page, people see it in less than a second, and they know that they're in the right place, and they can then phone you up.
Wow. Graham, we're coming to the end of the interview now. Just remind the listeners where they can find your website.
GrahamJones.co.uk.
Simple as that. Wow, how did you manage to get Graham Jones? That must have been very clever. There must be a few million Graham Joneses knocking around in the world.
Oh, yeah, but I'm the real one. The others are all fakes.
Graham, that was an absolutely fascinating interview. Extraordinary information for the listeners. With your permission, could we do this again in a couple of months' time and update people?
Absolutely. Yep. Always happy.
Thanks, Graham. Graham Jones, internet psychologist. Thank you for joining me today.